Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinapatitamastu, Mavisvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Can you just turn this off? Important verses.
Om Yastandata Mrishabho Vishwarupaha Chandra Kyo Yamrataha Sambhaguva Samindro Metaya Astranotu Amritasya Deva Karano Puyasam Shariyam Medi Charshanam Jitwa Me Matimahatama Karna Abhyam Puri Vishwam Brahmana Kosho Shimekhaya Pita Shikhanne Gopaya Avahanti Vitanvana Kurvana Chiramatmanaha Pasagumsi Mamagavasya Annapanesha Sarvada Kato Me Shriyamavaha Lomashan Pashidishraha Swaha Amayantu Brahmacharina Swaha Imayantu Brahmacharina Swaha Pramayantu Brahmacharina Swaha Samayantu Brahmacharina Swaha Samayantu Brahmacharina Swaha Yashojane Sani Swaha Shreyan Vashyato Sani Swaha Tanpa Padapratishani Swaha Sama Padapratisha Swaha Tasmin Sahasra Shakhe Nipagaham Vajim Vajay Swaha Yatha Padapratha Yanti Yatha Masa Paharjaram Evam Maam Brahmachariha Dātarāyaṁ ci sarvata swāhā Pratigeshaṁ ci prama bhāji prama padya swā.
What are we doing now?
The next one, you just follow the order. You got the important verses, right? Wow. You just do the next one. Aham Vrikshasya Deviva Kirtit Krishnam Gireviva Urvaha Vitra Vajini Vaswamritam Asmi Ravinagum Savarachasam Sumedha Amrato Chitaha Iti Shashan Kor Vedanu Vashanam Om Brahma Vira Atno Tiparam Teresha Kirtha Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma Yo Vedamihi Sanguhayam Paramevyo Man So Oshvite Sarvam Kama Ansaha Brahmana Vipaschiteti Tasmad Va Etasmad Atmana Akasha Samputaha. A lot of times I'm adding the line also after the end of the quote, like here it's Tesmat Va that goes on to the next section. It helps you to place it. Swamiji often does that. He'll do the major quote that here ends with the Itti and then do the first line of the next section. So just so that you know. Yato? Yato vacho nivarasante apraapyamanasataha anandam brahmano vidvan natibeti kagashaneti tasyaisha eva sharira atma. Asad va idam agra asi. Don't you have that? Asad va? Oh, sorry. Did I stop there? Have you done all of them?
No, it's just that one's missing.
We don't really need that one. It's okay. The next one we haven't gotten to yet.
Asaneva?
the Father.
Oh, did I have a Samantha? Okay.
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry. Here we go. Asane vasubhavati asan brahme ti veda chet asti brahme ti chet veda santane nantato vibhuti tasyaisha eva sharira asma.
Okay. Now go to Gisha. We're going from in your text. In the main text.
What number?
It would be on page 25, but second paragraph starting with Gisha, sort of the main text. This one is page 25.
For you guys, yeah. Just for me. It's just... Right, Rana?
Yeah.
Bisha, smart boss.
Oh, I added that.
Yeah,
okay. But we'll just do it with the starting with B shot in the main text, okay? Sorry, I myself forgot to pronounce that. Okay? I forgot to bring out my important verses, so I was just kind of doing it by memory. So let's start with B shot, okay? Anybody there? For me, and with this one, it's page 25. What is it for you, Cindy? Bhishasmadvatapavate Mityurdhavati panchama iti
Mityurdhavati panchama iti
Saishanandasya mima gunsa bhavati
Saishanandasya mima gunsa bhavati
Yuvasyatsadhyuvadhyayakaha Ashishto dhradishto balishtaha
Ashishto dhradishto balishtaha
Tasyeyam prithivi sarva vittasya purnasya
Tasyeyam prithivi sarva vittasya purnasya
Sa eko manusha anandaha
Sa eko manusha anandaha
Te yesha tan manusha anandaha
Te yesha tan manusha anandaha
Sa eko manusha gandharvana manandaha
Sa eko manusha gandharvana manandaha
Shrotriyasya chakamaha tasya
Shrotriyasya chakamaha tasya
Te yesha tan manusha gandharvana manandaha
Te yesha tan manusha gandharvana manandaha
Sa eko de... Sa eko deva gandharva namanandaha
Sa eko deva gandharva namanandaha
Shrotriyasya chakamaha tasya
Shrotriyasya chakamaha tasya
Te yesha tan deva gandharva namanandaha
Te yesha tan deva gandharva namanandaha
Sa eka pitranan chira loka loka namanandaha
Sa eka pitranan chira loka loka namanandaha
Shrotriyasya chakamaha tasya
Shrotriyasya chakamaha tasya
Te yesha tan pitranan chira loka loka namanandaha
Te yesha tan pitranan chira loka loka namanandaha
Sa eka ajana janan devanam anandaha
Sa eka ajana janan devanam anandaha Shrotriyasya cha ka mahatasya.
Shrotriyasya cha ka mahatasya.
Te ye shatam ma jana janan devanam anandaha.
Te ye shatam ma jana janan devanam anandaha.
Sa ekat karma devanan devanam anandaha.
Sa ekat karma devanan devanam anandaha.
Ye karmana devana priyanti.
Ye karmana devana priyanti.
Shrotriyasya cha ka mahatasya.
Shrotriyasya cha ka mahatasya.
I think that's where we left off, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So repeat after me. Te ye shatam.
Te ye shatam.
Karma devanam.
Karma devanam.
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 Anandaha.
Ananda.
Sa eko devanam.
Devanam.
Anandaha.
Anandaha.
Sa te yeshatam karma devanam. Devanam. Anandaha. Saha ekaha devanam. Anandaha. Te yeshatam karma devanam. Devanam. Anandaha. Saha ekaha devanam anandaha. So these words are just repeating, so they should be pretty familiar. Shrotriyasya cha ka mahatasya.
Shrotriyasya cha ka mahatasya.
Cha ka mahatasya.
Cha ka mahatasya.
Shrotriyasya.
Shrotriyasya.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha. Cha. Cha. Cha. Cha. Cha.
Shrotriyasya.
Shrotriyasya. Akamahatasya.
Akamahatasya.
Te yeshatam.
Te yeshatam.
Devanam.
Devanam.
Anandaha.
Anandaha.
Sa eka.
Sa
eka.
Sa eka.
Indrasya.
Indrasya.
Anandaha.
Anandaha.
Indrasya anandaha.
Indrasyanandaha.
Sa eka indrasyanandaha.
Sa eka indrasyanandaha.
Sa eka.
Sa eka.
Indrasyanandaha.
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 Sa eka indrasyanandaha.
Sa eka indrasyanandaha.
Sa eka indrasyanandaha.
Indrasya.
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 Indrasya anandaha.
Indrasya
anandaha. Indrasya anandaha. Indrasya
anandaha.
Indrasya. Indrasya.
Indrasya.
Indrasya.
Indrasya.
Indrasyanandaha.
Indrasyanandaha.
Sa eka indrasyanandaha.
Sa eka indrasyanandaha.
Shrotriyasya.
Shrotriyasya.
Cha ka mahatasya.
Cha ka mahatasya.
Shrotriyasya.
Shrotriyasya.
Cha ka mahatasya.
Cha ka mahatasya.
Te yeshatam.
Te yeshatam.
Indrasyanandaha.
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 Te yeshatam indrasyanandaha.
Te yeshatam indrasyanandaha.
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 Te yeshatam indrasyanandaha.
Te yeshatam indrasyanandaha.
Sa eko.
Sa eko.
Brahaspatera.
Brahaspatera
anandaha.
Brahaspatera
anandaha.
Brahaspatera
anandaha.
We're going back one. Te yeshitam brihaspatehe anandaha. Right? Te yeshitam brihaspatehe anandaha. That Rekha Visarga. Brihaspatehe anandaha. Then, saha ekaha prajapatehe anandaha. Same Sunday. Prajapatehe anandaha. The saha ekaha prajapatehe anandaha. Shrotriyasya chakamaha tasya. Shrotriyasya chakamaha tasya. Te yeshitam. Prajapate ranandaha. Te yeshitam. Prajapate ranandaha. Prajapate ranandaha.
Prajapate ranandaha.
Sa eko. Brahmana.
Brahmana.
Anandaha.
Anandaha.
Saha ekaha. Brahmanaha. Anandaha. Saha ekaha. Oh, you don't have to repeat. I'm repeating Sunday. Saha ekaha. Brahmanaha. Anandaha. Sa eko brahmana anandaha.
Sa eko brahmana anandaha.
Sa eko.
Sa eko
brahmana
anandaha.
Brahmana anandaha.
Brahmana anandaha.
Shrotriyasya.
Shrotriyasya.
Chakamahatasya.
Chakamahatasya.
Okay. Go back to the beginning.
Could I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Why did they put the dashes on the plywood?
You know what? I really don't know why. I'm wondering if if it makes any sense to me at all.
Where are we looking?
Oh, you know, sometimes they have dashes that are actually totally inappropriate places.
Well, but even at the very bottom of page 25.
Mm-hmm.
Devana Manandaha. I mean, the way they...
I know. The
Devananda.
It could be the dash is there for the sake of chanting. Because actually, if you were to break the Sunday, it would be Devananda.
Yeah.
But they'll put the dash like Devana Manandaha. And I don't really know why they do that. I'm wondering if it has to do with if in another book they had it... In another edition,
yeah.
They had it as a different,
yeah.
Spoke it differently or something
right.
Like that. I don't know. Anyway, on my version, I do it differently than that. I put it together.
Hmm.
So let's look at the meaning.
What
was that? Te yeshitam karma devanam, devanam anandaha.
Mm-hmm.
notice they have a duplication of the Deva. Just a minute.
I must have got tired and stuff.
I guess it has to be like this. Okay. We're on page 25 where the second sentence up from the bottom. Teyeshitam karma devanam devanam anandaha. That which is 100 anandas of the devas, of the gods, who are karma devas. There's going to be, I'm going to kind of go through this again. There's three types of devas. We're doing the karma devas now. So 100 of the karma devas, the karma devas are those who have gone to Devaloka through the doing of like Agnihotra, the Agnihotra Vedic karma. So those manushas, those human beings who have gone to Devaloka by doing Vedic karma such as the Agnihotra rituals. Okay? Because of that, they've gotten to Devaloka. So 100 anandas of those devas, of those gods who are karma devas, means they've gotten there, they've been born into Devaloka through the doing of these Vedic rituals. So 100 of those anandas of the karma devas, that which is 100 of the karma devas ananda, sa ekaha devanam anandaha, that is one ananda of the devas. Now the devas are the 33, there's 33 devas, beginning with like Indra, Brihaspati, Prajapati, the Rudras, the Ashwins, they come to 33 devas. Those devas have actually gotten to Devaloka, not through just the doing of the Vedic karmas, but through doing meditation, vipassanas also. And so those are the devas, the devas, these 33 devas, are the ones who actually receive the oblations from, like in the Manusha Loka, in this Loka. My knowledge here is very thin. I can't tell you any more than I'm saying. In other words, I don't have any layers.
You don't have questions.
No questions, Aaron.
Questions, you have to go to Swamiji or to go back to his thing. But, yeah, I know a little bit, but I'll just tell you what I know, okay? So, we've got the 33, there's the 33 devas who receive oblations. Like, for instance, in the rituals, whenever you're doing a ritual, the rituals will go to one of these devatas. Mm-hmm. You know, who are part of the one of these 33 in number. The karma devas are of a lower rank than that. They also serve these 33 devas, right? And the devas below that are the ones who went to Devaloka just simply by doing what we call smarta karmas. Smarta karmas are karmas that are born out of the smriti. They would be like building schools, helping the poor, giving wealth, these type of charities, through the doing of charities, even though they haven't done Vedic rituals, they've gotten to Devaloka. Through the amount of charities that they've done that have accrued enough punya to get them to Devaloka. They're on a Devaloka, the Swargaloka. They're on a lower level than the Karma Devas. The Karma Devas are the ones who have gotten to Swargaloka by doing these Vedic karmas. The higher level, the devas themselves, these 33 devas, have gotten to Swargaloka through the doing of karmas, the rituals, Vedic rituals, and all of the other things too, but the Vedic rituals and upasanas. Okay, so these devas are of a higher level, right, than the karma devas, and they're a higher level than the ajanajanam devas. Okay, the ones right below them. So, higher level means what their upadhi, the upadhi and the situation they find themselves in is more conducive to the experience of vishya ananda. Vishya, the upadhi itself is more subtle, has more capacity for those shanta vrittis that are born of vishya, sense objects. Right? The upadhi itself has more, and this upadhi and the condition and the situation they find themselves in is 100 times more conducive to the experience of vishaya means sense objects, vishaya ananda. So it's the ananda is there's this relationship between the ananda. It's what we call anandi ananda. They become the anandi, the one who has the ananda. They're an anandi of the ananda. I'm an experiencer. I am one now who has ananda. My upadhi is more conducive to the experience of that ananda, speaking as a deva, one of the 33 devas. The upadhi that I have is more conducive to the experience of ananda than the karma devas, 100 times more conducive, more subtle, and also the situation is more conducive. So it's both in terms of what we call the inner condition, the inner sadhana, which has to do with the mind, and the external sadhana, which has to do with the vishayas. So we're going in this radiation. So the first devas, the first group got there only through smarta karmas. Second group got there through vaidika karmas, such as the Agnihotra. Third group got there through not only the vaidika karmas, but upasana. So those two together have given them this particular sthanam of being a devata in Swargaloka. It was a very powerful sthanam.
So that's what they were after, right? I mean,
that's what they were after.
That's what
yeah.
they wanted.
Yeah, they pray for that.
Do we have any equivalent here in this loka?
This loka, no. The equivalent for all of these is the jnani.
Yeah.
Who is a kamahatasya. Yeah. Okay, so 100 times. So the devas have 100 times that 100 times of the karma devas ananda is one ananda of the devas, these 33 devas. Okay.
Yeah.
And kshatriyasya akamahatasya. And of the kshatriya who's not afflicted by karma, right? The kshatriya means the one, the jnani. Here we say it's jnani because of the akamahatasya. The one who is not afflicted. Hata means to be killed, destroyed, ruined, hurt, agitated, afflicted is hata. Kamahata, destroyed by the karma. Akamahata, not destroyed by karma, not afflicted by karma. The only one that's not afflicted by karma is the jnani. So here the kshatriya is the kshatriya brahmanishtra. The akamahatasya is the one who has nishtra. Because not afflicted. So there's no antakarana ashuddhi there. Right? The kshatriya means they have the jnana. And also they have the maturity. Kshatriya brahmanishtra. So the akamahatasya is the brahmanishtra. Okay, so kshatriyasya and the one who is a kshatriya who's not afflicted by desire. Te yeshatam devanam anandaha. Now it says, 100 of the deva anand, the ananda of the devas. Those which are 100 anandas of the devas. Te yeshatam is 100. Those which are 100 of the anandas, 100 anandas of the devas. For those who have my book that I'm using here, there should be a space between shatam and devanam. If you're using this. Mm-hmm. Shatam devanam anandaha. Okay?
Wait, where are you?
Now I'm on the top of page 26.
Okay.
So Teye then Shatam say Devanam Anandaha. So that which is 100, those which are 100 anandas of the devas, right? That is one ananda of Indra. Okay, of Indra. Indra is like the king of the devas. Indra is, say there's these 33 devas. Indra is their leader. So Indra, he has more power. So this, remember also, Indra in Kano Upanishad, Indra gained knowledge. We're going to do Brihaspati, Prajapati. All of them have knowledge. So the knowledge, that's Svarupa Ananda. We're talking here about the Vishya Ananda.
Indra's upadhi, and his situation gives 100 times more ananda, right, than the group of devas. Okay. Now we're not talking about shrupa ananda, because Indra also has knowledge. So eka indrasya ananda, that is one ananda of Indra. Shrotriyasya cha akamahatasya, and of course for the shrotriya, right, who is free of desire, who's not afflicted by desire. Te yeshatam indrasya anandaha sa ekaha brahaptatehe anandaha. Those which are 100 anandas, 100 units of ananda for Indra, that is one ananda for Brahaspati. Saha ekaha brahaspatehe, genitive singular, anandaha. Saha eka, that is, that which is 100 anandas, units of ananda, we say units, that is 100 units of ananda for Indra, that is one unit of ananda for Brahaspati. Brahaspati is Indra's teacher, the acharya of that loka. So he has 100 times.
Do the Indian people, are they familiar with all these different lokas and these names and stuff?
Nowadays, not any more than Christians are familiar with Christian theology. Jews are familiar with, you know, the Torah and all of that. It's all just they kind of know. But a scholar, anybody who's really involved in their tradition would know.
But at one time this must have been common information.
Oh yeah. And it still is to a degree, the idea that there are different lokas, swarga loka, you know, the loka sisters, that's all well known, but there's no details unless somebody's really, people are too more and more secular, you know, they don't think about all, but they kind of have it there by human Bible stories and things. So te yeshatam indrasya anandaha sa ekaha brahaspatehe anandaha, the teacher. Shrotriyasya cha akamahatasya. And for the shrotriya. Then te yeshatam brahaspatehe anandaha saha ekaha prajapatehe anandaha. Those which are 100 units, 100 anandas for Brahaspati, that is one ananda for Prajapati. Okay. Now, how are they talking about Prajapati in the commentary? Prajapati here is taken as Virat. Prajapati is Ishwara, the Atma, Brahman, pervading the, who has the whole physical upadhi of all of the lokas, the physical upadhi of the bhuva-suvaha, which means the physical loka of this. The bhuvaha is the intermediary space, you know, and swarga, swaha, is the swarga loka. So the whole physical expression of the manifestation, the Brahman pervading that, Ishwara pervading that from that standpoint, it's called Virat. The physical body of the creation on every level is Virat, the one who pervades that. That is what is meant here by Prajapati. Okay?
Well, that's the top Deva then.
Not quite.
Almost.
So that is one ananda of Prajapati.
And what does Prajapati translate? Why is it used synonymously with Virat?
Well, I don't know. Well, I should look
into
that.
Is it just a name?
It's a name.
It's a name.
Okay. Yeah, but we don't usually think of it as synonymous with Virat. But that's what they're doing with it. I don't really know why. The one who protects is the Lord of all of the Praja, of all of the beings, you know, is Prajapati.
Oh.
Anandaha. Then Shrotriyasya cha akamahatasya. So for the Shrotriya, Brahmanishka also. Te yeshatam prajapatehe anandaha sa ekaha brahmanaha anandaha. Which are 100 names, 100 anandas for Prajapati, that is one ananda
for Brahman. For Brahman. Now, I'll talk about this later after we chant. Let me just tell you what it says. And that is one ananda of Brahman. Here Brahman can be Brahmaji, meaning Hiranyagarbha, okay? Where Prajapati means Virat. Brahmanaha means Brahmaji for Hiranyagarbha. Or it can also mean Brahman. So mm-hmm. Swamiji does a long commentary on this, and he takes the whole thing as differently from Shankara. So, but let's just take it now. Brahmanaha means either Hiranyagarbha or Virat or Brahman, and I'll talk about this after we chant it. Then Shrotriya Sinchal Kamahatasya. Okay. And for the Shrotriya also. So that's the section that we're gonna chant. And then I'm gonna run through this, talk about it a little bit after we chant. Okay, for everybody?
So this is essentially in praise of the wise, right?
The young. That's exactly what it is, the praise of the Brahmanishtha. Okay, whatever, we're going to stop at 10:30 to move, check cars and everything. This is football day.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you'll get a double fine on your cars.
So it's $80 if you screw up.
Well, actually, we've got nobody came before 9, right?
But you know what? It might be hard to find parking. Maybe we should break earlier rather than later.
Yeah, let's chant this, and then I'll talk about it after. We'll chant it one time. Okay, so let's go back to Teyeshitam Karamadevanam Devanam Anandaha, where we started.
Where are we going back to?
Where we started.
Where we started. Second line up on page 25. Te ye shatam.
Karma devanam.
Devanam anandaha.
Te ye shatam karma devanam.
Devanam anandaha. Te ye shatam karma devanam devanam anandaha. Te ye shatam karma devanam devanam anandaha. Sa eko devanam anandaha. Shrotriyasya cha kamahatasya. Te ye shatam devanam anandaha. Sa eka indrasyanandaha. Indrasyanandaha. Shrotriyasya cha kamahatasya. Te ye shatam indrasyanandaha.
Shatamindrasyanandaha. Sorry. Is that actually a long A at the end? Because on this version it's
It should be aha. Let me see. Did I make a typo?
Here.
Yeah, let me go back and make sure that I have it here. Typo. If you're on page 16, anybody on page 16? Teyeshitam, wait a minute. Teyeshitam Indrasyanandaha. Long off.
The third line from the bottom.
Yeah.
Indrasyanandaha.
Long off. Any of the Teyeshitams have to end in a long off. All of them have to end in a long ah. Everybody see it? You see it? All the others are okay.
Yeah, you have to end it long. Okay.
Yeah, the others are all okay.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody see it? Third line up should be Te Yeshitam Indrasyanandaha.
No.
Why do they say short tree and then a comma? Why is it? Couldn't they just say short tree?
No. So I'm going to talk about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I was curious.
No, it's a good question. No problem. Yeah. I have to do this now because of my lack of memory.
Oh. You ever notice how you're only curious about certain things and not people?
It's a good thing. Selective curiosity. I feel great to remember too.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, now we're okay. Everybody, find that?
Thanks.
Te yeshitam indrasyanandaha. Te yeshitam indrasyanandaha. Te yeshitam indrasyanandaha. Te yeshitam indrasyanandaha. Sa eko brahaspatera, sa eko brahaspatera anandaha, sa eko brahaspatera anandaha, sa eko brahaspatera anandaha, sa eko brahaspatera anandaha, sa eko brahaspatera anandaha. The eco brahaspatera nandaha. The eco brahaspatera nandaha. The eco brahaspatera nandaha. Rotriyasya shakha mahatasya. Rotriyasya shakha mahatasya. Rotriyasya shakha mahatasya. Rotriyasya shakha mahatasya. Te yeshatam brahaspatera nandaha. Te yeshitam brahaspatera nandaha. Te yeshitam brahaspatera nandaha. Te yeshitam brahaspatera nandaha. Te eka prajapatera nandaha. Te eka prajapatera nandaha. Te eka prajapatera nandaha. Saeka Prajapate Ranandaha. Saeka Prajapate Ranandaha.
Saeka Prajapate Ranandaha.
Saeka Prajapate Ranandaha.
Saeka Prajapate Ranandaha.
Shrotriyasya Chakamaha Tasya.
Shrotriyasya Chakamaha Tasya.
Shrotriyasya Chakamaha Tasya.
Shrotriyasya Chakamaha Tasya.
Teye Shatam Prajapate Ranandaha.
Teye Shatam Prajapate Ranandaha.
Teye Shatam Prajapate Ranandaha.
Teye Shatam Prajapate Ranandaha.
Saeko Brahmana Anandaha.
Saeko Brahmana Anandaha.
Saeko Brahmana Anandaha.
Saeko Brahmana Anandaha.
Saeko Brahman Brahmana Anandaha.
Saeko Brahmana Anandaha.
Saeko Brahmana Anandaha.
Saeko Brahmana Anandaha.
Shrotriyasya Chakamaha Tasya.
Shrotriyasya Chakamaha Tasya.
Okay. Let's stop there and move the cards. Okay, we're back from our break. I'm going to continue talking about this section and what was just done.
Which section was it again?
The one we were just chanting.
Oh.
In this section, the point of the section is that the ananda is the Brahma Swarupa, the nature of Brahman. The ananda, the Swarupa ananda, is Brahman, and that Swarupa ananda is the truth of creation, let alone the self of every jiva. Right? And so, what we're looking at here is the relationship of the experience of ananda or wholeness or fullness for the jnani who has vairagya. Kamahatasya means nishtha, means they're not, literally they're not afflicted by kama. The unagates, right? Akamahatasya. They're not afflicted by desire. They're shrotriyas. Means that they have the Vedic knowledge. That means that they have the Upanishadic knowledge. So shrotriyas means that they understand it. That they have it clearly. According to Shrotriya, it means they've experienced the sampradaya, the teaching tradition, the Vedic teaching tradition. So here would be the Upanishads, so that they have jnana. And they also have maturity in that jnana. That's why we say Shrotriya Brahmanishta. So for those people, the access that their mind has to the Swarupa Ananda, the Ananda which is natural to you, which is the nature of Brahman, is total. Right? Because whether jnani or ajnani, the very self that illumines the vritti, that illumines the mind, is Ananda. The self, the Atma that illumines the mind, is itself Ananda, Satchit Ananda. So for anybody, jnani, ajnani, there is no distance between Ananda and the vritti. I am the ananda which illumines the vritti, which is the very self of the vritti. Okay. So here we're looking at, we start out with what we have to understand, what is one unit of ananda that's experienced by beings in this world. Samsari, ajnani. One unit would be they define this kind of perfect person, you know, of good health, of intelligence, who follows the Vedas, who's a dharmi, you know, and who also has everything that they could possibly want in the creation. They have all wealth and their overlordship of the whole creation. That's one unit of ananda. If you go up one, so they say, that's going to be our starting point. this is what we're starting with, this one unit of Ananda, that the most, that the most blessed samsari, who the Dharma Nishtha, can experience. Since the Ananda, the Ajnani, okay? Ajnani, Dharma Nishtha, who has everything. Good health and overlordship and all well. That's one unit. They go up all the lokas, all of the different levels of beings, and each being enjoys 100 times that Ananda as you go up in terms of fertility, because each being, each different level, right, of jiva, jiva upadhi, each different level of upadhi, has a situation, has a more subtle upadhi, a upadhi that is more capable of enjoying vidhi ananda that is generated by the enjoyment of sense objects.
And that all takes time, right? You have to have time to evolve.
Well, just like in the world, why do you enjoy ananda? Because as a samsari, because you're fulfilling a desire. And the desire is born of sense perception, sense objects. And so each level up, the both the upadhi and the situation is more conducive to the experience of vritti ananda. It's also called vishya ananda. Vishya means sense object. Vritti means mental modification, thought modification. So the ananda available to you through sense objects becomes easier and easier and easier, because the upadhi becomes more subtle and the situation conducive to the enjoyment of vishya sense objects becomes easier all of the way up. So they say each level up, it's 100 times easier. The upadhi is better, 100 times better. And the situation is 100 times better for being able to enjoy that ananda. So you get 100 times more ananda than in the previous upadhi. That's the idea. All of these vritti anandas, experiences of ananda in the mind, is dependent on the vishya. Anandi, ananda. The anandi, the one, the upadhi has ananda. Anandi means the one who has ananda. So there's a duality there. The vritti enjoys ananda. Okay, so that keeps going up. But all the way up, starting with the first one, which was the Gandharva, Manusha Gandharva, 100 units of the Manusha Gandharva, they enjoy 100 times that one unit, the starting unit. The Shrotriya Akamahatasya also enjoys that same, right? Now, we do this all the way up. And every level, the Shrotriya Akamahatasya enjoys the same ananda. Even when you get up to Hiranyagarbha, if we take it like that, the last one, Brahmanaha, Hiranyagarbha, who enjoys, Hiranyagarbha enjoys absolutely everything. There is nothing away from, by Hiranyagarbha, I am the whole. There is nothing away from me, so there is no vishya ananda to enjoy because I already have it. There's no vishya ananda to attain because I already have it. It's already contained in my form. So it's Hiranyagarbha. I become, as the Hiranyagarbha upadhi, the total maximum amount of ananda that can be attained. I have that as Hiranyagarbha. And I have jnanam also because I have sarvajna form. I have all knowledge because the Hiranyagarbha upadhi means the one, the manifestation of knowledge, the one who's identified with that, identified with the whole is Hiranyagarbha. So you can't go any higher than that. So as Hiranyagarbha, I enjoy the absolute maximum ananda that can be enjoyed from the standpoint of the upadhi, the absolute maximum. And I have jnanam too. It's all the way, you know, from Indra to Brihaspati to Prajapati, you know, to Vajapati, to Brahmaji, all of them have jnana. So they all enjoy the svarupananda, which is my nature. And they also enjoy, from Hiranyagarbha, the maximum amount of vritti ananda from the standpoint of the upadhi, Sameshti upadhi for Hiranyagarbha, being the whole. All the way up, the Shrotriya Brahmanishtha enjoys the same. Because all the way up, the source of the ananda is the Brahmasurupa, is the Atma. The source of the ananda is the Atma. The Atma is the same for the Manusha Gandharva, for the Devadandarva, for the Pitras, for all of them. You know, for the Karma Devas, for the Devas, etc. All the way through. The one there is one self. Right? So that one self is the same, that one self, no matter what the upadhi, whether it be the Sameshti upadhi, or right, the Sameshti upadhi or the Vyashti upadhi. It's the same Atma. It's the same Ananda. And for all of the upadhi, Sameshti or Vyashti, there's no distance. You know, I am the self of the Vyashti and the Sameshti upadhi, so I am that. There is no separation between the maximum Svarupa Ananda, which is the source, Abhidhivishya Ananda. Right? There's I am that. So now, for the difference between the samsari and the jnani is the samsari doesn't know that. The samsari doesn't know that the Atma is the source of the Ananda, that the Atma in fact is the Ananda. The samsari doesn't know that. And so the samsari is dependent on Vishya Ananda to create a vritti, a thought modification, a shanta vritti through the fulfillment of a desire in order to reflect that Ananda. So that is radiated depending upon how subtle the vritti is, you know, and the vina dharmi and how subtle the vritti is, and how easy the access is to the vishyas, to the sense objects. That will depend upon how much ananda the vrittis are capable of enjoying. How many vritti anandas and how much of a resolution can you get from enjoying sense objects in this creation? So going all the way up, each level, it becomes easier and easier and easier to have the vritti ananda. Right? The Shrotriya Brahmanishta doesn't go through this dvaita, subject-object dvaita, anandi, anandaha, no. There's not an anandi enjoying ananda. There is the ananda, the svarupa ananda. So the jnani enjoys the svarupa ananda of the Atma, where I can say anandoham, I am ananda, anandoham. The vritti of the jnani is not dependent on the vishya for its ananda. It's only dependent on the Atma for its ananda. And where is the Atma in relation to the vritti? The Atma is the vritti. The vritti is free of the Atma is free of the vritti, but the vritti has the Atma for itself. So the ananda is independent of the vritti, but the vritti has the ananda for its being. And so if the vritti resolves into the source, into ananda itself, then there's nothing in the way of its enjoyment of ananda. Just like for Hiranyagarbha, who doesn't have to fulfill any desires because the Hiranyagarbha already has every object, because every object is already attained. Every vishya is vishya prakriti, right? There's the attainment of all vishyas is already accomplished. You could say vishya praptaha Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is the one who's attained all vishyas already because it's his form, svabhava. And so there's nothing to attain there, you know. So there's absolutely nothing can act as a paribandhaka. There's no kamahatasya. There's no desire. There's no kama that can get in the way as an obstruction for Hiranyagarbha. For the jnani, for the Shrotriya, who is a kamahatasya, means mature, is not afflicted by desires, there is nothing to get in the way. There's no necessity for any type of vishya. So whatever, you go all the way up to the top to Hiranyagarbha, the ananda that Hiranyagarbha enjoys is the ananda that I enjoy as a Shrotriya Brahmanishta. This is a little different, but what I want to explain is kind of the difference between Swamiji and Shankar. And Swamiji is so sweet in his bhasha. He says, I do this a little differently than Shankara, but Shankara would bless it, I'm sure. I like Swamiji's better, and it's how we were taught, though we're aware of this other way of looking at it. So this is how Shankara does it. It also has its, as Swamiji says, also has its value. It's kind of interesting to understand this. All the way up, there's the Shrotriyasya. The Shrotriyasya also includes being a Dharmanishtha. So the understanding of the Vedas, following the Vedas, having Antakarna Shuddhi, that's going to be true all the way up. So that all falls under Shrotriya. In other words, another way of looking at this is the qualities that are talked about in for the Manushya who has everything. Those qualities, other than the Vishyas, are going to be true all the way up. So in all the way up, they're going to be Dharmanishtas, they're going to have Dharmanishtas, they'll have the understanding of the Vedas. But what changes all the way up is the level of Vairagya. So this is how Swamiji looks at it. In the first level, there's the Manushya Gandharvas. Right? They have their own Sattalupadi and their own experiences of enjoyment. Okay? This level is the same enjoyment that they have is the enjoyment that is the enjoyment that the Kshatriya has, who is a Kamahatasya, who is not afflicted by desires, to that level. In other words, whatever desires the Manushas would have, the Kshatriya does not have. He's a Kamahatasya and level of the human level. He's also a Kamahatasya on the level of the Manushya Gandharva. But he could want to be a Deva Gandharva. So the Shrotriyasya, a Kamahatasya, is true only up to the level of the Gandharva. He still lacks Vairagya in reference to he lacks Vairagya in reference to the Deva Gandharva level, because he'll think, I don't want any of these things. It would be nice to be a Deva Gandharva. So now we go up to the Deva Gandharva, and now you have the Kshatriya means the Jnani. He's a Jnani, but his Vairagya has increased. Now, the Deva Gandharva enjoys 100 times the Ananda is the Manushya Gandharva. The Shrotriya Akamahatasya in this higher level also enjoys 100 times more Ananda, because we're talking about Vritti Ananda, than the Shrotriya Akamahatasya of the lower level, because more Vairagya.
How does he get that more Vairagya?
Because of maturity. So just a little aside. For us, if we gain, you have jnana, but the mind's ability to reflect ananda depends upon vairagya. To the degree that you don't have vairagya, your knowledge hasn't been assimilated, you still want this and want that, the mind suffers from agitation. So even though the swarupa ananda of your own being is there, illumining the vrittis, the visya ananda isn't there. To the degree that it is not there, those vrittis are going to experience dukkha. Right, the lack of the experience of dukkha in the mind, right, is dependent on your vairagya. Why? Because wherever I lack some vairagya, what that means is that in that particular area I need that to be happy. Right, in that given area I need that to be happy. If I need that thing to be happy, it's not mithya. I mean, I'm reacting to it as real. If it's mithya, then it's nothing. You just let it go. But if it has that sense of satya, means I really do need that to be happy. I have to bring my knowledge into that and assimilate that, you know, that a little piece of ajnanam there. So that lack of vairagya causes dukkha, because I need that to be happy, and then there's dvaita, there's the one who's seeking ananda. So now, even if I have knowledge, and I recognize my own swarupananda, my being, is now illumining a vritti, a dukkha vritti. And I can still differentiate my being and my own ananda from the dukkha vritti. My swarupa ananda illumines and is present to the dukkha vritti. But I'm still generating dukkha vrittis because of the lack of vairagya. So what chakra has done is look at all of these levels where for the samsaris going all the way up, there is less and less of a situation to cause a vishya situation in the samsara to cause dukkha. They don't need vairagya. But they need vairagya less and less and less because the creation isn't creating obstacles for them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like say if everything's going well for you, you just feel everything's fine. You don't need any vairagya because you're happy with the way things are. It's only when things don't go well, you don't get your way, you don't fulfill a desire that you need vairagya.
Mm-hmm.
So here what's happening with these because of punya, they get higher and higher and higher levels where their upadhi and the situations don't create situations where vairagya becomes a question. Okay? So now what he's looking at is this situation for the Kshotriya, who is a Dharmanishtha, who has knowledge, but the only thing that, once you have knowledge, the only thing that really changes and becomes gradiated is your level of vairagya, which is caused by the maturation of your antakarana in the light of this knowledge. Okay? And so there is like a blossoming in terms of the level of vairagya, and therefore an as though blossoming in terms of the vritti ananda that's being experienced. Everybody get it?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's looking at like that. It's like the jnani on each level, you know, becomes one who has vairagya up to that level. Their vairagya has matured up to that level. But then in the next level, they still have desire for those things. Mm-hmm. Then they move up to the next level. Now they have vairagya all the way up to that level. But, you know, for the higher level, they still have the desire for that thing. So, say the highest you can go in samsara with all of the rituals and upasana is to have the identification with Hiranyagarbha. So that identification with Hiranyagarbha takes place through rituals and upasana, which is an all-consuming rituals and upasana, not just once in a while, it's an all-consuming. Okay. So now say you get all the way up to that Brahmana Ananda, you get all the way up to right before Hiranyagarbha, you're at Prajapati, and then you have vairagya all the way up to that, except you still want that Hiranyagarbha Stanam, Brahmaji Stanam. Okay? And so, still you have a ways to go. But once you're at the Hiranyagarbha Stanam, right, then that Hiranyagarbha, there is nothing to get in your way, and for the Kshotriya Akamahasasya, there's nothing to get in the way. See what I'm saying? So that's how Shankara looks at it. And it has some merit, because what it does is it, in a way, acknowledge the development of vairagya as you mature in your knowledge. So that's a way to take it. Tuamji takes more like this. That the ananda that each one of these levels enjoys is the ananda, is the very one ananda that the Kshotriya Akamahasasya enjoys. He doesn't gradate it like that. To me it makes more sense, but this you can understand also. That's why he says this, as Swamiji also acknowledges this interpretation. But on the other hand, the ananda that the manusha for the Kshotriya Brahmanishtha, for the jnani, the ananda that they would enjoy on the manusha level is exactly the same as the ananda, as long as there's no desire. There is no gradation in the ananda. If you're going right to the source of the ananda, the antakarana is the source of the ananda, that ananda is only one. Okay? And so it's not dependent on vishya. That's what akamahatasya means. It's not dependent on desire. And so there should be no gradation. You're either akamahatasya or you're not. But Shankara takes that you're akamahatasya within that individual loka. So the akamahatasya goes up to the loka and includes everything before it. But then you could still have desires above. It's just putting a little bit different emphasis.
How feasible is it to have this, that type of vairagya? I mean, Is that in a, for only these elite few, or can it be developed by anyone with knowledge?
It's continually that once a person has knowledge, and see, this is interesting, even before you have knowledge, becoming a mumukshu, viveka vairagya, the viveka itself that leads to the mumukshutvam, right, gives you the vairagya. So even to come to this knowledge at all, you need to have some vairagya. The vairagya that you have, though, is the vairagya in reference to sense pursuit. Means that the recognition that there's nothing within this creation, everything is nitya, everything is bound by time, and so it can't give me the wholeness, the fullness, the everything is anitya, it can't give me the nitya ananda, the timeless ananda, the timeless well-being that I seek. I'm always subject, it's always subject to dukkha, because it always will come to an end. So I recognize that. That gives me vairagya, because I recognize that I can't forever fulfill myself. There's an endless cycle. So that's, you have to have a level of vairagya to bring you to this knowledge. It's anyway, right? Without that, you won't come to this knowledge because you have the solution yourself. If I could just have this or that, I'd be happy. So now once you, so that viveka, vairagya, samadhi, shatkama, mukshu, from all of those are necessary to a high enough degree to bring you to the knowledge. Once a person gets this knowledge, you'll find that all of those qualifications mature into a completed condition. Like for instance, you come with viveka, but it's only partial viveka. It's viveka, discrimination, recognizing, you know, that this is all anicca, this is all time-bound. Is there something timeless? That's the viveka. Not this is time bound, I am timeless. That's completed viveka, that is the viveka, but you come with the question, this, and half of recognition, this is all time bound, is there anything free, timeless? So the completed is I am timeless, this is time bound, this, you know, such in the all of that. So the viveka resolves into knowledge. Same with the vairagya. Vairagya is, sour grapes vairagya, initially, none of this can make me happy. It won't work. It's a dark night of the soul. There's nothing I can do to gain what I want, to complete myself. It is not possible. That's the vairagya. The vairagya of the jnani is that I don't desire this because I am the ananda that I superimposed on it. So the vairagya resolves into ananda, into anandaham. I am ananda. That's the resolution of the vairagya. Is the discovery of the source of ananda. Right? So that's the jnani. So now, just look at viveka and vairagya. This viveka must mature into knowledge, must transform into knowledge. The vairagya needs also to mature, right? To mature into freedom. The vairagya has to mature into anandoham, right? It has to mature into that. It means the emotional self. The viveka is in a way, I don't usually talk like this, but just to make the point. Viveka is the intellectual self, the buddhi, right? Nitya, anitya. It's the understanding. The vairagya is, in a sense, emotional. You know, I need this to be happy. Right? That's the lack of vairagya. I need this to be happy. So the vairagya is related to my ananda. Right? And so for the mind to enjoy ananda, whom I am ananda, to enjoy the reality of it, means the mind is reveling in the Atma as the source of ananda. Right? It has to have matured. This viveka has to have penetrated every aspect of the mind. All of the desires, all of the complexes, all of these things have to have matured. So the mind is free to just abide in myself as ananda. Shama, dhamma, upadati, all of these qualities of the mind have to mature along the way. And I come with a certain level of those qualities, they have to mature into it being natural to me.
like Shama is the, say if we take Shama for instance, is the choice to entertain a thought or not, to entertain an emotion or not. I have a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a huge thing. If I have a choice, it's no problem. Right? If something comes that is not pleasing, I can let it go. That's Shama. You know, Dhamma is that there's not acting out on my thoughts. Well, if I have Shama, I won't act out on my thoughts. So all of these things mature into just natural ways of being. And the mumukshitvam, of course, resolves into moksha. The desire for liberation resolves into liberation. Mumukshitvam to moksha. So there's a process of maturation that takes place in time. Yeah. It takes place as I assimilate this knowledge, and as my all of the habits and whatnot are expose themselves to the light of my knowledge, those things drop off. And my mind is no longer running out in this way and that way. So Vairagya, if we take it that way, and Shankara is acknowledging that maturation process, the maturation of Vairagya. Just kind of mm-hmm. nice that it validates what we call Pratibandhika Jnanam.
Well, can you
Pratibandhika Jnanam means knowledge with obstructions, right? The obstructions are this kamahatasya, afflicted by, that's the instruction, afflicted by desire. It's a Pratibandhika. There's not any other Pratibandhika. It's the desire. I want something to be different. So it's lack of vairagya. So kamahatasya is lack of vairagya. A kamahatasya is no lack of vairagya. That's maturation of this knowledge. So now, that total maturation of vairagya you know, does not take place overnight. You can have pratibandhika jnanam, or your knowledge and nishtha. But I would say like this, something I think Swamiji would agree with this, we've talked around this in many ways. You can have jnana nishtha. Jnana nishtha means that your knowledge never goes away. It's there. Aparoksha, vijnana, is there. But the mind is not enjoying the Hiranyagarbha stone. Right? The mind is not in so mature that it doesn't ask for things to be different, that it doesn't have this reaction or that reaction. That takes place that's maturation. And so the only person I've ever met in my life that has that level of maturation is Swamiji. And that's after, and then I can still say it after, 30, 40 years now of experience, I would say, yeah. And that's a huge thing. I would never claim that level of maturation, but I would claim knowledge. I would claim clarity, knowledge, even nishtha.
That's what,
but
I
not
was,
that level of maturation.
That's what I was hinting at. I mean, only very special people will have that.
It's not just special, but don't look at it like that.
Yeah, okay, that's what I meant.
It's the, you gain knowledge, and then the antakarna matures at its own rate in the light of that knowledge. If we don't look at it in a Buddhist way, that countless lifetimes and lifetimes to get that type of maturation, we don't look at it like that. We say that's already happened. Those lifetimes have already happened. That's why you're here.
Yeah, but when you say Swamiji is the only one that you've ever met that had that kind of degree of vairagya, that makes it sound like it's not reachable, in a way.
I don't say that it's not reachable at all.
Okay.
I don't feel that way, but I would say
it's rare.
It's more rare. It's rare because that's kind of the very end, you know, of your maturity. I personally noticed myself, and I'm sure for me speaking for everyone, every 6 months, every year, if you look back, there's tremendous growth there in terms of your own maturation.
Yeah.
There's a flowering. The flower, the rose is opening, you know? And it opens and opens, and that whole process, I find that whole process very beautiful and very enjoyable.
But there, way before that rose is totally open, there's yourself that is constant.
Yeah.
The constant being of yourself, the Swarupananda that you are, is there blessing the opening of the flower. You know, and so I don't actually care. Let it open at its own rate because nothing happens to me. I'm not going to open any more than, you know, you're you.
Yeah.
You know? And so the mind, but as the mind goes on maturing, just like how Shelter, it is the dukkha that the mind is susceptible to experiencing becomes less and less and less.
Mm-hmm.
As your vairagya matures,
mm-hmm.
the dukkha that the mind is capable of experiencing becomes less and less and less because you're not the ananda, the swarupananda never goes away. There's no difference between the mind and the self, and no distance between the mind and the source of the ananda. So the only thing that creates the dukkha is your relationship with the world, the lack of vairagya. That's what creates the dukkha. Your relationship with your own mind, your relationship with your complexes, your relationship with the world. That's what creates the dukkha. So in a simple way you can say, lack of vairagya is the creator of dukkha. And so to the degree that the mind matures, to that degree your mind experiences less and less and less dukkha because you're not asking the world to be different. That's the maturing process. You know? And so to say you understand what I'm saying here then, to say that you're a jnani, to say that you're even a shrotri, a brahmanishtha, definitely you can say, as long as, and if you want to be true to these words, you don't have praisandika jnanam, that the ways of the mind, the vrittis or emotions that the mind experiences don't take you away from your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Don't create like a covering as though
mm-hmm.
of your knowledge. That's brahmanishtha. Now can the brahmanishtha say like Swamiji said, my mind does all kinds of funny things?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I could certainly say that. My mind does all kinds of funny things. You know? My mind will experience all different kinds of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But the level of dukkha I experienced this year is less than last year. It's less than last year. It's less than last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is. Mm-hmm. And so once you have clarity, then you can enjoy that unfoldment. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But and I don't even know, I think this would be interesting to ask Swami, but I think he would say, does that unfoldment of the flower ever come to an end? I don't know. The reason I don't know that is that you're learning something every day. You know? The jiva upadhi in reference to Ishwara, you're learning something every day. It's like it's an endless, I don't know, it's like an endless assimilation of Ishwara. But what doesn't grow or change is the Swarupananda.
So you make it sound like it should be a little bit natural to have these desires even as we develop even more and more, there'll be some specks mm-hmm. in it. But
they become less and less and less in terms of, like, all the way through, you will have what we call the desires that are generated by the prarabdha karma.
Mm.
It's not like any human being you'll never be desire free because of the prarabdha karma.
Mm.
But the desires are mithya. I'm talking about, so mithya means that they don't matter. You have nothing inside that says my ananda is at stake. It's just that the desire generates your direction.
So you base that by the amount of suffering you have then? Is that
whenever there's suffering, then there's lack of vairagya, and that's why you bring in your knowledge.
Physical suffering
is different.
Physical
suffering, there will be a buildup on it.
Yeah.
But the pain is pain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I was talking about the other kind.
Yeah.
Could I ask just something to clarify a question about this section? when we talk about the Shrotri Brahmanishta, are we talking about the Shrotri Brahmanishta of each level, like Shankara was talking
Swamiji
about?
Said.
Or he's just saying here in Bhuloka. Is this Bhuloka?
This is Bhuloka.
Okay.
What's your address?
What Swamiji is saying, what Swamiji is doing is so he acknowledges Shankara. So I think it's like the whole book. This book is true, you know? You just have to understand the perspective. What Swamiji is saying is that the ananda that the Shrotriya, Akamahasasya, the Shrotriya who is not afflicted by desire, means vairagya is complete.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever ananda that the participant, that the jiva in any one of these levels is enjoying, that is already enjoyed by the Shrotriya Akamahasasya. Whereas Shankara.
Even here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even here, yeah. All
yeah,
of
that's
it,
what
all
I
of
mean.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. All the way through. Whatever ananda that level is capable, the best person in that level, right, is capable of enjoying, that is what the Shrotriya Brahmanishta, Akamahasasya means vairagya, not afflicted by desire. So no matter what the level, all the way to Hiranyagarbha, that is what is enjoyed by the Shrotriya Akamahasasya. And Shankara takes it saying that he's looking at it in terms of the akamahatasya is only akamahatasya in reference to that level. They could still desire something on the greater levels, so then you go up to that level, and then they're akamahatasya on that level. Then you go up to that level, they're akamahatasya on that level. To just show, to highlight the gradation of the improvement of vairagya. So you have your Shrotriya, but your vairagya is something, your Shrotriya and a Dharmanishta, your vairagya can go on increasing. But Swamiji makes a very good case for that, for this other way being a good way to take it, the way he takes it. And that's the way that makes a lot of sense to me, though I appreciate this other way too.
And if you have a little bit of suffering, you can attribute that to the karma of the jiva. But then how should you care for that or handle it when the experience is there? You know?
Well, as long as you have this, you're in this bhuloka, you're going to have 50-50. Punya-papa means sukha-dukha. Punya means situations that will give you sukha, papa, situations that are meant to create dukkha.
Mm-hmm.
So to the degree that you're ananda, you realize the source of ananda is yourself and not touched by those, to that degree you can be objective toward both sukha and dukkha. Right, say if you're not objective toward the sukha, then you say, oh, let me have that, let me have more of that, let me keep that.
Yeah.
You know? And toward the dukkha, you know, this becomes a great cause of sorrow for me. You lose your objectivity. For the jnani, it's the experience is there, sukha or dukkha. But there's an objectivity because your ananda is not at stake. So what you need to do is the sadhana, when the dukkha, sukha is fine, nobody bothers. They're all great mahatmas, and the Swamiji jokes often, we're great mahatmas in the sukha, you know. And samsara is in the dukkha. So we have to become mahatmas in the dukkha also. So that's where the sadhana, sadhana means when the dukkha is there, the little sadhana flag comes up. You don't have to be able to sit with that.
Mm-hmm.
And on every level, to see if it's a complex, what part of you is being heard, to talk with that, to take care of it on the inner dialogue level, and then eventually, at the appropriate time, to bring into that particular situation your knowledge, and to just keep bringing your mind back. That's what's helpful for maturing. That's the, like if we say, you know, to let the plant grow up naturally, but to let a plant grow up beautifully naturally, you want to get, you know, good soil, you know, and sunlight, and enough water and nutrients. And so we have to give that to our mind. You have to give it, you know, water and nutrients and care and love and.
Yeah, I make the mistake of is that I want it instantaneously to go away, or I want it to eradicate it when the suffering takes place. I just out, out.
I know, and that doesn't work.
It doesn't work. No.
No.
No, not at all.
See, we have to learn how to be with the suffering. That's what we keep going talking about. So the thing is, what you have to do is remember what we're talking about at the time that the suffering is there, and then actually do that.
Yeah.
You know, as a sadhana.
Yeah.
Bring that. Do that means bring that knowledge. Bring that way of being with the suffering mind. Bring that knowledge to the suffering mind. Okay, let's stop this.